Good morning. What a great joy it is to look out and welcome each and every one of you as we come together this day celebrating a multitude of gifts and blessings from Almighty God. And I don't even have an April Fool's Day joke for you today. What's that? Well, yeah, Diane called me this morning and she said, it was about what, 7:30, I was sitting out doing something. She said, are we having communion today? And I said, yes. She said, oh, and I obviously was, well, me and the communion stewards, but the communion stewards found out Friday night. I was evidently the only one that realized or had changed it, I should say. So I'm the culprit. But we did laugh. My niece, who was about 23, on Facebook Friday said, oh my goodness, I'm getting old. I forgot that my birthday is tomorrow. And so her friends had posted Friday on Facebook, happy birthday, Sarah, happy birthday, happy birthday. Then my sister posted, Sarah, you are getting older. Your birthday is Sunday. And she is an April Fool's Day baby. But she is recently engaged, and we figured, well, all right, we'll cut her some slack. She's not thinking good. Gooder or goodly or well, or whatever those words are not supposed to be, but we use them. Clearly, I said that one. Hey, I got some good news today from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. Let's continue to worship the one that seeks to enter into our lives as our Lord, Savior, and as our King.
Thank you. What a wonderful way to start the worship. Please stand now and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response. Give thanks to the Holy One, for God is good. With hosannas and praise, we greet the one who calls us. This is the day that God has made. Please remain standing and join in our hymn of praise, number 278 in your red hymnal, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna. Please be seated.
I am Matthew. Today is Palm Sunday. When we entered the capital city of Jerusalem, the people were cheering. They were shouting, "Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Everyone in the town was there. It was a huge celebration. It was a grand party.
I am Judas. I do not remember that day the same way. To me, the cheers were shallow and the celebration short-lived. For in the background, the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees, the Herodians and the Sadducees were green with envy and red with anger. They set their traps with tricky words and bought their spy, me, with 30 coins. They prepared to kill the Son of God.
Today is a day of paradox. The king entered town on a lowly colt. The king cried during that royal celebration. The cheers of the crowd temporarily beat back the drumbeats of doom. Today, during our service, only the Christ candle will burn.
Please stand and join me as we recite the opening prayer together. You will find your prayer printed in your bulletin. Steadfast lover of all creation, you sent your holy child, Jesus, to teach us how to love the sake of the world, showing us how to love one another by the power of his love. As we stand with those who sang Hosanna at his coming into Jerusalem, as we gaze with those who looked from a distance at his death on the cross, open our ears to the sound of your voice, whispering, "Trust in me always. Amen." Please be seated. Our scripture reading for today is from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 through 9a. Hear these words. "The Lord has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him that is weary. Morning by morning he wakens. He wakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been confounded. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty?" May the Lord add his blessings to these words from Isaiah. Our responsive reading today is Psalm 118. It may be found in your red hymnal, pages 839 and 840. Please recite your response after the prompt. "The Lord is my strength and my power. The Lord has become my salvation. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord.
The Lord has chastened me sorely, but has not given me over to death.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them, and I give thanks to the Lord. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord.
Give us success.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is good God who has given us light. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. We have reached the point in our worship service, our moments of informality, where I will take a few minutes to tell you about the mission and ministry of our church. But first, I offer a warm welcome to all, and especially our visitors who have joined us today. While I share announcements this morning, I would ask that you complete the form in the red attendance folder. You can find that at the end of your pew. After signing it, please pass it to others in your pew and then pass it back to the center aisle. If you have a prayer request today, you may use the 3x5 index card that can be found in that red registration booklet. Place that completed card in the clear holder at the end of the pew, and our ushers will bring them forward to Reverend Lake this morning. Holy Humor Sunday is fast approaching, and Diane has an announcement.
Well, my first announcement is to remind you that Tuesday and Thursday we have the Living Last Supper at 7 o'clock. I hope you've all taken advantage of those pocket posters that are out on the narthex table, both for Tuesday and Thursday, and also to take several of the Celebrate Easter With Us cards and pass them out so we have a good crowd here. Now, the week after Easter is Holy Humor Sunday, and I think I have, like, attention deficit disorder or something, because the Lord said, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Unfortunately, I only got the first part. And then when I went to go fishing, I got an orca instead of a fish. So I have a problem with that. But what I'd like you to do on Holy Humor Sunday, the Sunday after Easter, is to have a Holy Humor headpiece. Now, it doesn't have to be a fish or a turkey or a hamburger or a halo. It can be whatever you dream of. So let's see some creativity and come to church and be prepared to laugh for the Lord. Thank you.
If nothing else, those of you that have been attending these last several weeks, Diane's going to be the showpiece, so I think I'm showing up just to see what she has on. We do have several more announcements. I'd like you to mark your calendars for important events or deadlines that must be met this week. First, we must announce that there had been a stewardship committee meeting scheduled for this evening, and that has been canceled due to the Last Supper practice. So no stewardship meeting for tonight. A reminder, our district conference will be held on Sunday, April 15th at Faith United Methodist Church in Delmont. That conference is 2 weeks away. However, please note that registrations are due in the district office no later than this Thursday. That's conferences in 2 weeks, but registration is this Thursday, April 5th. You can register and pay online. Please check your bulletin. There are a lot of specific details and descriptions about the conference and instructions on how to do that registration. Also scheduled for this week is the Community Good Friday Breakfast for this Friday, April 7th, beginning at 7:30 a.m. at Pluma's Restaurant on Route 30. The guest speaker will be Wade Nolan, who is an award-winning lecturer. Tickets may be purchased in the church office, through the Norwin Chamber of Commerce, or from any ministerium member. Sarah has asked me to announce that on behalf of the Outreach Committee, she is getting ready to send Easter cards to our military personnel. Those cards have been located in the narthex the last several weeks, so if you have not had opportunity to sign a card, please do so today so that Sarah can get those in the mail. And then I would like to highlight a few things. The 50th annual Race for Grace was held yesterday, and I'm very delighted to say that the church had donated nearly $1,000. That's a cause that was very near and dear to our hearts, Grace. This race was in the memory of Reverend Funk's beloved granddaughter, Grace. And congratulations are in order to one of our very own. I see him sitting back there. Hunter, please stand. Hunter has been selected by the National Council for Exceptional Children for the 2012 Yes, I Can Award. Woohoo! The Yes, I Can Award. Hunter is one of only 20 youth in the United States to receive the award this year, and he will be excelling, recognized for excelling in so many categories, academics, athletics, school and community. He just, his list is endless. That award will be presented on Friday, April 13th in Denver, and therefore our church is coming together to assist Hunter and his family with the cost of their trip. And our children's collection today and next Sunday will be given to the family to help them with their costs so that they could all be there for this wonderful, wonderful award. So I would ask that you please dig deep and give generously. And if you don't know Hunter, take the time to get to know him. I taught Hunter a long time ago in Sunday school, and I now work with him through Boy Scouts as a merit badge counselor. He is a phenomenal kid, and he faces his deaf blindness head on with such courage and dignity every single day. And it's my honor to know him. Congratulations, Hunter. So let's all pull together. For the cross on Friday, the schedule has changed, and our church is now scheduled for 2:15. There is a new schedule out on the table in the narthex if you wanted to participate in the walk of the cross this Friday. And now I ask you to pass the peace of Christ to all in attendance.
Good morning. How is everyone today? Everybody slept well last night?
No.
No. You stayed up till 9:30. Oh, heaven. Wow, that's like all night. What time did you have to get up then this morning? Woo! Beautiful shoes. And is it, you can do those Velcro. How many have Velcro on your shoes? Huh? No? Well, I might talk about Velcro a little later on in the sermon. You've got Velcro. Those are beautiful. Whoops. Now everybody's got... Well, look at mine. I have two that match. What is so important about today? It's Palm Sunday. Where are the palms? You used some, didn't you? And there's a bunch outside that you can pick up when you leave. Why didn't you get them when you came in? I know why you didn't get them when you came in. Because I was a kid once. And I know that they wouldn't sit still. Because I would have been tickling my brothers and sisters with them during church. And I'd have gotten reprimanded, yelled at, by my mom or dad or somebody else sitting around. So there are palm branches back there that you can take home with you and keep them. And what did the children do on Palm Sunday? Waved them. And what did they shout?
Hosanna!
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But you know what? Jesus doesn't want us to do that just once a year. How often does Jesus want us to say those words?
Every day.
Every day. Every day Jesus wants us to live where we shout him as our...
Why mommy always bother me? Those like daddy.
Those are like daddy's shoes. Yes. And those are white shoes.
I have cool shoes too.
You have cool shoes too. Yes. I'll bet everybody has a pair of shoes on except this little girl right here. She's in her stocking feet because she's a baby. But Jesus wants us to use our shoes every day to walk around to people we know and to tell them the good news about Jesus and proclaim him Hosanna and that he is our King. Even what?
Sandals.
Even sandals. You know what I call sandals? Jerusalem cruisers. Let's pray. Lord God, for this day we give you thanks. For these boys and girls, we are grateful. For the shoes on their feet that enable them to walk around and to share the good news that Jesus is King. And Hosanna to his name, we are grateful. Bless them as they live and grow for you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I need help passing out cups. There's some more cups right around the corner. And I need some help with those bulletins back there as well.
Jerusalem comes the King of
time in our service when we want to lift up joys and concerns for individuals and situations among us. This morning, please remember Elizabeth, and also in our prayers, Gus, and then a praise, Emily. Got a national recognition for a national award in her course of study in college. So we'll want to remember the two concerns and rejoice in the praise as well. And if you turn over on the back of our worship folders, you will see our life together. To intercede for others is a privilege. To be prayed for is a comfort. And to remember that we need to offer that comfort to our brothers and sisters through lifting them up in prayer as well. Let us continue now uniting our hearts and our spirits as we go to God in prayer. Our gracious and loving God, how good it is to once again find ourselves within your house, to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are here, that we can experience your holy presence. The holy mystery in this meal of communion, grace, and forgiveness. We remember the stories of this day. Your son riding on a donkey into the holy city of Jerusalem. And the crowds, behold the king, Hosanna in the highest, welcoming the one who came in the name of the Lord. But there was skepticism. There were those who were questioning and wondering and scheming. For change can be difficult. Someone unknown is tough to stomach. Things not going as they normally go cause us to raise our eyebrows. And we know, O God, that later on that crowd turned. And at some times we wonder, how could they do that? But we know in our own lives, there are days or moments within a day when we are hailing and proclaiming your son is king, and then in another moment, sin creeps in. And we wonder, how did we do that? But we know that you are gracious and loving. And so we pray for those moments and times in the past when sin has crept in and we have not brought honor and glory to your kingdom. But we know that you are not finished with creation and that you still are creating. And so it is our hope and prayer, O God, that you will create within each and every one of us a right heart, a right spirit, and that all might be made new. We pray for the hurts and the needs of your people. We pray for their joys and celebrations. You've heard those names voiced. You know the names and situations upon our hearts and those on our prayer list. Oh God, we know that you can and will work wonders in the lives of your people. And so it is our hope and prayer that this week, as we go through our daily lives and living, that we might see those things that you seek to change, to transform, to make new, and that we might boldly go where you lead us to go. We pray for your church, each individual and family represented here. We pray, O God, for our bishop and our cabinet. We pray for general conference that is quickly approaching. We pray for annual conference and jurisdictional conference. We pray that your Spirit might guide and direct all of us. For we pray for that moment in time when every head and every heart will bow at the name of Jesus the Christ. It is in his holy and precious name that we ask that we pray as we unite our hearts, our spirits, and our voices in the prayer that he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I would now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering. Holy God, grant us the courage of conviction and the purity of heart to make the journey of this week with Christ. Help us to be generous and sacrificial as we give. Empty our hands and our cluttered lives so that we are ready to carry the cross in our present world. In the blessed name of our Savior we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. Hear now these words that Mark has for us in his gospel, beginning with the first verse in chapter 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. May God's blessings be upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray now in these moments that we share together, that your Spirit might fall upon us and comfort each and every one of us, that we might receive rest from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Anybody ever broken an arm or a hand, a leg or a finger? Someone's got a new cast on just this week. Decided to, wreck on your bike. But the bike's okay, but you're in a cast. Anyone else? I haven't had that happen yet. Then those of you that maybe have broken an arm or a finger or a hand know how hard it is suddenly to do even the simplest tasks. Are you right or left-handed?
Right-handed,
okay. So then it's not too hard to write your name. Okay. Have you ever tried to tie your shoe one-handed? Or open a jar with one hand? Or fold a shirt with one hand? Guys, have you ever tried to do that with two hands? Thought I'd sneak that one in for you ladies. Things that we're used to doing with two hands become extremely difficult and slow and cumbersome and taking all of our concentration when we're down to one hand. And even then, the results might be a little sloppy or embarrassing. Some tasks take two. Two hands, two people, two wills, two hearts. Did you find out why about the broken heart? Okay. Fritz said he broke a heart in the past, and Diane was going, "What? What do I need to know about you?" But you said it was your mother's heart, right? Where is it? Oh, he went home. All right. Well, you can tell him we thought about him at the second service. Two hands, two people, two wills, two hearts. One simply isn't always enough to get the job done. Now, in today's gospel lesson, Jesus sends his disciples after a young colt that he's going to be riding into Jerusalem, and he sends them out in a team to get the work done. Just as when Jesus had sent his disciples out to preach and to heal, to proclaim the good news, he sent them out two by two. Jesus continues to keep his disciples operating in pairs. But do you think that these two particular disciples, chosen for this latest duty, looked forward to this mission with the same sort of anticipation that they had enjoyed when they were sent out in pairs to travel around the countryside of Galilee? Not on your life. Instead of miraculous healings and teachings and preaching, they've now been appointed by Jesus as horse thieves for the Messiah. A young colt was valuable in those days. As a pack animal, it even offered the means of a livelihood. Aside from a pack animal, it could offer transportation for individuals and produce a certain amount of income for the family. And so, walking into a large city and going up and untying, well, dealing with someone else's property just hardly sounded like a mission for the sake of the Messiah. But Jesus makes this impossible sounding mission probable by anticipating every question, every fuss, every dilemma that the disciples may encounter. First, Jesus sends them out in a team of two so that they might offer one another strength and companionship along the way. As team members, they could take turns feeling confident or scared, leading or following, doubting or believing. As two, they present a more credible picture to those who might be questioning them about untying the colt and taking it away. One person sneaking up to untie a colt would surely be a thief. But two men carrying on a conversation and confidently waltzing up and untying a colt, well, that might be an arranged mission. When the bystanders ask the two disciples exactly what they are doing, just as Jesus has predicted they would, the disciples are not only prepared with the answer that Jesus gave them, but now they can each verify the other's story. A strange story sounds a little less odd when you've got two individuals that can, well, collaborate their story. A few summers ago, when Tom Cruise offered viewers a new A Mission Impossible story, moviegoers flocked to see it. Yes, it was full of in-your-face special effects, nail-biting cliffhangers, non-stop action, but for those who remember the old 1960s Mission Impossible show, something was not quite right. The jazzy theme music was back, but something was missing. And actually, the fatal mistake of the movie was that something, someone rather, was there. A big name, a big star, Tom Cruise. You see, you may remember that the strength of the old Mission Impossible was that every story, every mission was a team effort. No one was the runaway star of the show. The complex schemes they cooked up to fulfill their impossible missions were totally dependent upon the performance of each and every other team. Now, some of those team members did have more glamorous parts in particular shows than other team members, but at the end of the successful mission, it was the team that had pulled it off. The final take in each show was always of all the team members coming back together and acknowledging that it was only because of the team effort that the impossible had indeed been made possible. You see, Jesus Christ calls all of us as his Christians to join him in an impossible mission force, to be prepared to be offered some pretty crazy sounding assignments. Your mission and mine, should we choose to accept it, just may lead us into some strange situations. We may not find ourselves being horse thieves for Jesus, but chances are we'll find ourselves doing and saying some things that we would just never dream of being possible. Being on Jesus Christ's mission impossible force may involve glamour duty. Oh, being involved with the public and maybe teaching or preaching or healing, or it may involve that behind the scene work where nobody ever sees what's being done. But sometimes accomplishing an impossible mission, well, it might even take a little bit of comedy. I mean, imagine the sight of a grown man riding on a small donkey, a colt, in a ragtag procession of people hailing him on a beast of burden as a king. Sometimes that impossible mission is accomplished only through tragedy. Yes, like even death on a cross. If there were any doubt that God can make use of anything and any situation to accomplish Almighty God's intentions for the world, all we really need to do is take a look around us this morning. I mean, seriously, take a look. Who you're sitting beside, who's in front of you, who's behind you. It's one thing for today's gospel text to declare that something as dusty and humble as a colt could be put into service for Almighty God. But what's really astounding is that God has purposefully chosen the struggling, sinful, sometimes stiff-necked, stuck on tradition, slow to change, uncertain about the future, comfortable in the pew, church, to be the impossible mission force for proclaiming the good news of the gospel to the world. Are we ready to be a part of the greatest team effort ever put forth into the world? We can stay true to our mission and accomplish all that God intends if we are willing to do two things. Number one, remember that we're part of a team. And secondly, in times of doubt and despair, recite the reassuring chant that Jesus sends us out on our mission with. The Lord needs me to do this, and the Lord Jesus Christ is with me. God's presence is upon us, And may it continue to be as we go forth out into the world. Let us pray. Gracious God, you call and you send each and every one of us. Sometimes in pairs and sometimes as a whole congregation. And we pray that faithfully we might proclaim you as the King. Continue, O God, to work your wonders within us. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Christ continues to work wonders within us, even through this holy meal. A meal of grace and forgiveness to his church. We come together today remembering that Jesus gathered in that upper room. And that on that last night, with the disciples gathered around, Jesus took bread. He lifted it to the heavens, he blessed it, and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body that's broken for you and broken for the whole world." The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's for you. And as that supper was perhaps drawing to a close, Jesus also picked up a cup. He lifted it to the heavens, and he said, "This cup today becomes a new covenant. My blood that is shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink it and remember me." As we come together today to receive this holy meal, to experience the holy mystery of the presence of Christ, offering to us grace and forgiveness, I want to remind you that in the United Methodist Church, we practice open communion. And all of you here today, regardless of age, regardless of past, regardless of church membership, faith, or denomination, you desire to draw near and to experience grace and forgiveness, this table is open to you. This morning we will be receiving communion in the pews. I would ask that as the ushers pass it to you, that you hold it. And then together, under my direction, as one body, we will be united together in receiving the elements at the same time. The table is prepared. Christ invites us. Let us come. You hold in your hands a gift, a precious gift, the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that's been broken for you. Receive the bread of life and eat and remember him. Amen. The cup of the new covenant, the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole world, shed for your sins. Drink and receive his grace and forgiveness, and remember him. Amen. Our gracious and loving God, we pray that today we might begin anew, as a new creation, as new disciples, living, sharing, proclaiming your good news. For we go forth into the world in the name of the one who was, who is, and who will ever be. Amen. Let us stand now and sing our closing hymn. Our gracious and loving God, we know that our mission, if we choose to accept it, is to walk the dusty, rocky path to the cross, to transform all fear and pain of the world into everlasting love, to find a way humbly to serve in spite of the pain of everyday existence, to reflect the light and love of your Spirit, O God. For we go in your name into the world. Amen.